What's up, guys? Max here, back with a brand new episode of the Scuttlebutt Show. Hope you're all doing well out there, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. I hope you're having a great day. John in the chat, what's up? And everybody else who hasn't checked in yet, hope you're out there having a great, fantastic start to your week. It is Monday, December 5th, 2022. We're back from the weekend. We are into December. What a month it is. Happy holiday season, everybody. We have a crazy, crazy Scuttlebutt Show to get to today. We're going to be talking about some crazy crime stuff. We're going to be talking about some feel-good stories at the end of the day. I've got a Marine recruiter story that is insane, and I've got a soldier who's upset about something, and we're going to talk about what it is. I've got some hot takes on this. It's going to get pretty spicy. So, folks, thank you for being here. Let's not waste any time and jump right into today's first Scuttlebutt Show story. Apparently, a system snafu, as Navy Times puts it, has left a bunch of junior sailors, the ones who need money the most, without pay for months. And not just regular sailors, these are top-of-the-line nuclear sailors, okay? These are the ones who need the money because they got promised it for their big brains that they have and their big ASVAB scores and all the things that qualify them for nuclear duty. Roughly 175 sailors were forced to go without their Navy-provided rent, otherwise known as their BAH, as you guys might know it, while they had to pay for their own bills this fall due to a system hiccup that emerged as the service continues to transform pay and benefits. And who suffers when the system transforms? It's the people getting paid. The issue arose in September and impacted petty officers third class who were attending the Navy's nuclear power training school in Goose Creek, South Carolina. Great name for a place. Students were required to live off base while they attend a portion of their education known as the Naval Nuclear Power Training Unit, or the prototype. But when those sailors began prototype, they did not receive their basic allowance for housing. Instead, each sailor had to produce the money out of their own pockets. Officials say the problem has since been fixed, but multiple sailors and community members told Navy Times that they had to borrow money, get help from family, or take loans to pay their rent, which is an embarrassment to the military. The problem arose as the Navy continues to shut down its legacy personnel support detachments, known as PSD, where you used to have to go to get your ID card and your DD-214 and all that. And now they're taking a lot of that stuff online, as well as a new transaction support center at Naval Station Great Lakes, Illinois, that handles all sailors in a student status. So now PSD at your local base has been replaced by this TSC. But during the shift, it emerged that the personnel support detachment in Charleston had incorrectly taken on some work the schoolhouse should have been doing when it came to the students. Big Navy has framed the closure of PSDs and consolidation of TSCs as a move that will provide greater efficiency and customer service for sailors, but the PSD loss has caused headaches and disruptions in recent years. Of course, I remember going to PSD for every little thing. If you had to update a paperwork thing or add something or take something away from your record, like an award or something like that, you would have to go and wait at PSD, take a number, sit there, wait for your turn, go up there, get it done. Oh, you forgot this thing, come back in 2 weeks. And I picked up my own DD-214 from PSD. But when I was still in the Navy, I remember commands were getting a lot more authority. So your admin people, your PSs and your yeomans were getting more authority to do things within the command. And the reasons to go to PSD were getting fewer and farther between. So it says here, the training command will also start processing BAH for an entire graduating class of nuclear pipeline students all at once versus one sailor at a time. The Navy is initiating a significant reduction in the amount of supporting documents required to start BAH and has changed internal systems to better track ones, according to the spokesperson. So good luck to all the sailors out there who signed up to make the most money that the Navy has to offer for enlisted people. Often nukes even getting bigger bonuses than SEALs and other special warfare operators because their specialty is up in the brain department. So you got to find people ready to do nuclear physics and recruit them with $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 enlistment bonuses, 2 years of college education while you're in the Navy, in beautiful schools, and then really high enlistment bonuses. But is it worth it to take on that job of a nuke? I don't know. When I was on the ship, those nukes looked pretty strung out, running around without any sleep, a lot of fatigue, and constantly monitoring their radiation intake. So let me know what you guys think about that in the comment section down below. Crazy, crazy. BAH is increasing 11% next year. Yep. Big jumps. Missing their checks because of a muck-up that blows. What's up, Nuggets? Great to see you. Jacob Donenworth, ahoy to you. Great to see you. Just in time for a Marine story. Jacob, of course, who is the author of An Officer and a Man, one of the funniest books I've ever read, and you should pick one up if you don't already have it, is here just in time to check out a new story about a Marine. Oh my gosh. Holiday season, folks. This is the holidays. This is what we get. Veteran accused of threatening to shoot up Fashion Show Mall. That's the name of the mall, Fashion Show Mall. A U.S. Marine veteran threatened to carry out a mass shooting at his 26-year-old ex-girlfriend's workplace at the Fashion Show Mall, according to a police report. This veteran, whose name is Jeremy Schumacher, called his ex-girlfriend on November 28th and told her that he was going to shoot up her workplace to kill her, her co-workers, and then himself. That's terrifying. According to the report from the Metropolitan Police Department, she also told police that he has an AR-style rifle and explosive devices, including grenades. Why does he have grenades? "I'm coming for you," Schumacher told his ex-girlfriend, according to the police report. Schumacher, who's 41, by the way, dating this 26-year-old, is being charged with making threats or conveying false information concerning acts of terrorism. Police say they detained him at his condo near Las Vegas Boulevard and Fremont Street later that evening. You know, not a lot of good stuff happens there. He told police that he didn't have any guns and denied making threats. When detectives searched his home, they did find an AR-style rifle, armor-piercing bullets, high-capacity magazines, a grenade launcher, military-style flashbangs, and smoke generators. Or maybe they mean smoke grenades. Wow, wow, wow. The bullets were found were polymer-tipped, which detectives said are better for shooting through body armor. Schumacher told police he recently used cocaine and alcohol. He's being held on a $1 million bail. No shocker there. No big surprise that this guy was on cocaine and alcohol when he made these insane threats, getting himself geared up like Tony Montana to go out and commit some horrible crime. Thank goodness, though, the victim reported it and the police were able to act on time, which you love to see. All too often, it's, yeah, we heard these things, but we didn't go check it out. We get calls like that all the time. Then he did it, and now we're, you know, retroactively cleaning up body parts and brain matter. So luckily here, they were able to get to the situation before it got out of control. So shout out to the authorities out there. Wow. Nugget says, how did he get grenades? That's a great question. They must mean flashbangs. They must mean the flashbangs in the smokes. AN, what's up? How's it going? You know, people go out there, they go out to Vegas or other big cities, and they get on those drugs, and they start doing crazy stuff. You can't get on the drugs, folks. You cannot. If once you do, it's a downward spiral from there. You think it's just a Saturday night, then all of a sudden it's Thursday morning. You're waking up, frothing at the mouth, going crazy, paranoid. Never mind. I'm going down too much of a rabbit hole here. Too much of a rabbit hole. Let's bring it back. Let's reel it back into a more serious subject. Let's bring it back into a much more serious subject regarding weapons. Let's keep it going weapon themed, and let's talk about, this is not necessarily military related, but this is, I just want you guys to know out there, as an owner of Sig Sauer weapons myself, it's important to know that they're starting to fire on their own. It is known that guns don't just shoot themselves. But what if they do? Oh my God. Apparently, one particular model of Sig Sauer is firing on its own without the trigger ever even being pressed. Police and federal law enforcement officers are among 20 people from multiple states saying that they were wounded by a popular type of Sig Sauer pistol, the latest lawsuit alleging that the gun is susceptible to going off without the trigger being pulled. No bueno. The lawsuit filed Wednesday in U.S. federal court in Concord, New Hampshire, says there have been over 100 instances of the P320 pistol unintentionally discharging when a user believed they did not pull the trigger. These men and women were highly trained officers, veterans, and responsible and safety-conscious gun users who put their trust in Sig Sauer, unaware that the gun they used to serve was a danger to themselves and anyone around them. Wow. According to the lawyer representing a group of these people, Zimmerman said it is the largest P320 lawsuit against the New Hampshire-based gunmaker on behalf of the people who were injured. This has covered a range of time from February 2020 to basically now, this past October. In many cases, the gun discharged while still in the user's holster, seriously injuring them in the leg or hip and leaving them unable to perform their usual duties. Scary. One of the plaintiffs is Dionisio, they call him DJ, of Virginia. He's 62. He's a Navy veteran who instructed service members in firearms training and safety for over 20 years. He said he was hurt in the leg and calf by a bullet from his P320 in February at a private shooting range on his property after he had just holstered the gun. The first thing out of everybody's mouth who knew me was, how did this happen? You're the safest person we know with a firearm, said DJ. He was out of work for 6 weeks, couldn't climb or do his normal job as a roof inspector. He said some people had assumed he had his finger on the trigger or manipulated it in some way or did something to shoot himself, which is what I would have thought too. Being looked at and told it's your fault was the embarrassing part, and it kind of angers me, he said. Yeah, that must be a... And plus, you would probably go into some phase of second-guessing yourself. Like, did I do that? The P320, like Urkel, did I do that? The P320 is designed to fire when the trigger is pulled, Sig said. It includes internal safeties that prevent the fire from discharging without a trigger pull. Well, the lawsuit details negligence and product liability claims against Sig, as well as its deceptive marketing practices for the gun, advertising it won't fire unless you want it to. Ironic that they would choose, of all the words in all the world, in any order that could surprise you, they chose that one. To make a gun with a trigger this short and this light without any sort of external safety is reckless and unprecedented. As you guys might know or may not, a lot of SIG weapons, or maybe all of them, don't have safeties. So, you know, this is my safety, as they say in Black Hawk Down. I personally own a SIG 226, which is what we used in the Navy, and I love that weapon. It is my most favorite sidearm that I've ever used, and I'm a big fan of it. I was always very, very much enjoyed carrying that in the Navy, much more than the Beretta, for example, which does include a safety, and they use that in the Army, and when I trained with the Army, I use that. Now, this SIG incident has me second guessing. The gun was first introduced in 2014, and SIG offered a voluntary upgrade in 2017 to include an alternate design that reduces the weight of the trigger. So when you have those really short, really light trigger pulls, maybe there is some kind of room for error there. The lawsuit calls for the trial and unspecified monetary damages. SIG has also denied the allegations made in other lawsuits by Zimmerman, who's the lawyer representing this group. And they have denied other ones, including ones that involve a military veteran in Philadelphia and a federal agent from suburban Philadelphia. Milwaukee's police union sued the city over officers' use of the P320, saying the handguns inadvertently misfired 3 times in the last 2 years, so they don't want them in their departments anymore. SIG has prevailed in those cases, though. It has settled at least one federal class action lawsuit involving that weapon made before 2017, offering refunds or replacement guns to purchasers. So very interesting. Let me know what you guys think about that in the comment section down below. And do you believe it's possible that these weapons are firing themselves? Wow. Scary. Jacob says, who, by the way, is like an expert on this stuff, says, yeah, the first generation of 320s was a little funny with the whole go off on its own thing. There was a voluntary recall. It was an internal design flaw since rectified. Well, Jacob, they're saying it's not rectified. That's the claim. The claim is, in fact, this is not rectified. It is ongoing. So keep an eye out. Please be safe out there, everybody. If you have a 320, if you have a P320, already you should be following the weapon safety rules, right? Never point anything at anything you don't intend to shoot. Treat every gun like it's loaded. Know your target and what's behind it, all that stuff. Extra important now. These guns are firing themselves. It's like the dumbest thing in the world. If somebody was like, isn't it going to go off? You would be like, what an idiot you are. You don't know anything about weapons. They can't go off unless the trigger's pulled. I guess maybe we are a little too confident about that. Like, why do we think that? If you're following your weapon safety, you should have no issue. But why are we so confident that weapons don't go off unless the trigger is pulled? Now, we know about things like cooked off rounds, stuff like that, after a high rate of fire from, let's say, you know, your M4 if you're in the military. But just having a weapon on a counter or something and it fires, could you imagine? Not cool. Not cool. I've definitely had my weapon in Afghanistan on the counter in my room, loaded, of course, and if that thing went off on its own without being touched, it would probably have fired right into where I slept. So, not cool. Not cool. Nugget says, guns are like fireworks, fun to see go off, but not fun on people. Jacob says, but was it a new production one or first generation? The first green ones held the striker fully cocked inside instead of most of the way, or for it to be finished with the trigger pull and then released. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. That's probably worth further investigation. And maybe you're just a guy to investigate it. Maybe you get involved in that suit. But for now, let's proceed. I got some more stuff to tell you guys about. It is the holiday season. It is an extremely important time to be highly alert regarding mental health stuff. Domestic violence rates skyrocket. Self-harm skyrockets. And we have a story here about that. Four sailors from the same command die by self-harm, a report finds. Four from the same command. At least four Virginia-based sailors stationed in the same unit have died by self-harm in recent weeks, according to an NBC News report that cites military officials and family members. This is on the heels of news of 10 sailors on the East Coast from one ship dying in the same kind of way. The four sailors were all assigned to the Mid-Atlantic Regional Maintenance Center in Norfolk. It cites a licensed counselor, Kayla Arestivo, who was brought in a few weeks ago to help sailors in the unit. Arestivo said she was inundated with the amount of hopelessness at that command. How could it be so bad? The report states that many sailors in the unit were grappling with personal issues, a lack of mental health resources, and felt undervalued and overworked by their superiors. The four sailors who died by self-harm took their lives between October 29th and November 26th. That's less than a month, folks. Wow. Chaplains, counselors, and psychologists were being made available to the sailors at the command, and leadership is making a proactive approach to stress and mental health in the ranks. One is too many, according to MARMC spokesman Douglas Denzine. We remain fully engaged with our sailors and their families to ensure their health and well-being and to ensure a climate of trust that encourages sailors to ask for help. This is and they reference the George Washington that had a string of similar events earlier this year, last season. And it is just another stage of the ongoing veteran crisis that's going on. 988 is the hotline that you can call for help in this type of thing. We had that crazy video of that police officer who approached that soldier in his car who was, you know, on his way to take his own life. And, you know, that intervention saved his life. So you never know what kind of intervention could help. Maybe just reach out, phone call, text, social media post, checking in with your buddies and let them know that, you know, you're out there to be reached out to with a, you know, a call. If you need help, reach out to somebody. You can always talk. You can always find somebody to talk to. Navy leadership has launched investigations into the GW people and pledged reforms to how sailors live while ships are undergoing lengthy maintenance stints in the shipyards, but the service has yet to make any findings or plans to reform public. So what are they going to do? It's unknown. What do you think? Is life in the fleet when you're just back at home at your shore command, so is it getting so bad that that people are resorting to this? Do you see that in the ranks? Let me know in the comments. Crazy. But the NKO classes were supposed to fix this. Yeah. Nugget says, keep watch for friends. Mental Health Awareness Month was recently, but doesn't mean the problem is over. Mental health is not just a month, right? Like, we have all these months, month for this, month for that. We need to do that full-time care. There's a crazy Marine Corps story here, and then we're going to talk about the Army. The Army almost got off today. The Army almost got off easy, but no dice. Let's talk about a United States Marine. You might be thinking that this was a story we already had, but it is not. This is a different story. Marine recruiter accused of essaying a prospective recruit, and this one gets pretty serious, and that, folks, is what makes this person the Scuttlebutt Show Clown of the Day. Oh, God. That's what makes this person the Scuttlebutt Show Clown of the Day. Technical issues over here. Marine recruiter accused of essaying prospective recruit. A Marine recruiter in Arkansas was arrested Friday, this is last Friday, December 2nd, for using his position of trust and authority to, you know, get it on with an underage prospective recruit. Staff Sergeant Duncan Weathers, who was 27, arrested on essay of the first degree. The platform of Marine Recruiter allowed Duncan Weathers the ability and opportunity to make contact with a range of young children in multiple school districts, according to Zach Rollins, a lieutenant with the Independence County Sheriff's Department. This platform provided Duncan Weathers with a position of trust and authority over these minor children with the purpose of providing these children with knowledge and a pathway into a respectful career. Duncan Weathers used his platform to contact this minor child and engage in intercourse. Not good. Wait till you hear I got caught. Rollins stated in the affidavit that he spoke Monday with a mother and father who said that a Marine recruiter had made this inappropriate contact with their minor daughter. The parents told Rollins that they had discovered the alleged essay after finding nude images of Weathers in her phone, as well as a photo of Weathers in bed with the child. Doesn't that make your heart sink to the pit of your stomach? You see the photo, you know it's done. You realize that this has been happening right in front of your eyes, right under your noses, and it's over. There's nothing you can do. You can't protect your child anymore because the harm is done. I can feel that. I feel like sick reading that. Police later confirmed these images were in the phone. Rollins also spoke with the child, who told him that she met Weathers at a career fair in her school in late September, early October, and that she had been interested in a career with the Marines. After sending images to the child and requesting ones from her, Weathers had intercourse with her in October. The child also told police officers that Weathers had previously said he wanted his relationship with recruits to be on more of a friendly basis. Just getting friendly, that's all. Weathers claimed to be Rollins in a subsequent interview that the minor was not interested in joining the Marines, but he was not able to give the police officer a good reason for being in contact with her. He admitted that he had gone to the child's workplace once. When pressed on other known locations, Duncan requested to stop questioning without legal advice. So he knew he was in trouble. Per Arkansas law, when a person in a position of trust or authority over the victim has intercourse, that constitutes SA in the first degree, which I think is great. It should be the worst degree. Marine officials have removed Weathers, who worked at a recruiting substation, Little Rock, from canvassing duty and ordered him to halt his work obligations, according to First Lieutenant Tyler Mashal. Both the Marine Corps and Weathers are fully cooperating with police investigators, according to that spokesperson. The Marines in this command are required to uphold the highest standards of personal and professional conduct at all times. The representative said, "We will investigate any and all allegations of misconduct and hold our Marines accountable for actions that are contrary to our core values of honor, courage, and commitment." And that Marine is out on a $20,000 bond, but that does not undo the damage done. Absolutely sick. I really feel for the parents. I feel for the girl, the young girl, but the parents, oh my gosh. Imagine you open up your child's phone and you see those pictures. That must have been a really bad feeling. I'm no therapist. I can't think of the better emotional words to describe that, but that must have been a really bad feeling. Let me know what you think about that and what should be the punishment in the comment section down below. Jeez, Louise. Who was Louise, do you think? Poor Louise, right? She had a rough deal. She definitely did not get the best end of the bargain there when she got that expression named after her. So, new Navy, we used to say. It's a new Navy. No more fan rooms, no more fighting. Recruiting is too vile, Nugget says. Let me go back and catch up here on the comments. My brother in high school was thinking of hurting himself and didn't tell me months later after he was feeling those emotions. Check in a lot more with your friends constantly. My brother is doing better now. It's good. Nugget says, I feel sick after hearing that. John says, dude needs to go to prison. If he's guilty, he indeed does. At least I think. So we used to say new Navy, you know, no more goofing around, no more horseplay, no more fan room brawls, no more, you know, making people do push-ups, whatever, no more yelling, no more cussing. You know, you guys already know. But now it's a new everything. And some soldier out there does not like that. It's a new army, they might say, whatever they say. And not everyone likes it. There is a soldier out there pretty upset about his leadership, but I have a little bit of a hot take here. I'm not sure if I think this guy is on the right track here. So this video went viral on TikTok. Let's watch it and let's react to it.
If you're in the military, I need everyone's help to just spread this, like,
foul language warning
everywhere, like, please. So I'm getting out in like 7 months, in July 2023, right? And I'm trying to take a CSP, which is like a career skill program. So when it helps you get a job when you get out of the army, right? Right now, this is my first contract, first term. And the leadership at Fort Bliss says that, you know, the division commander so that he doesn't want to sign anybody that is doing, you know, this CSP if they're a first-term soldier. And, you know, I because it's over, so it's right now it's 82 days.
So, right here, it starts in February 13th through the 5th. And, you know, it's like 82 days total, but if you don't count the weekends, it only goes Monday to Friday, 08 to 16:30. And it only comes out to like 59 days. And they don't want to sign it because this is my first term contract. And, you know, they rather have soldiers be homeless and get, you know, they rather just fuck the soldier. And like, I'm telling you, the leadership here is fucking toxic. And if you could like just spread this awareness, like, dude, Fort Bliss is fucked, dude. Like, I hate the Army. I'm not saying I hate the Army. The Army has done a lot for me. I'm not even gonna lie. But like, the leadership here is just super toxic, and then they wonder why the retention is like fucking low, and like, you know, nobody wants to fucking re-enlist or enlist because we have shitty leadership like this, and they wonder why nobody's staying in the Army. But yeah, if you could just share this, it'll be fucking great. Like, I appreciate every one of you guys. Thank you.
I don't often want to say things like suck it up or grow up, but hot take here. I think this guy, Official Tet, is wrong. This is a new type of program. I know the Navy and Marine Corps calls it Skill Bridge, where you can take the last 6 months of your time in the military and go out and do a civilian job with participating organizations. And basically, you're mustering and doing all your work with them, getting outside of the military, on-the-job experience, and then you are set up for potentially getting hired right out of getting out of the military. Okay, cool. That didn't exist until recently. That's maybe 5 or 6 years old in the Navy and Marine Corps. And it's an awesome program if you can get into it. But if you can't get into it, that's fine too. You join the military, you agree to a contract. You agreed to a contract. This is like, how great is the military that they let, and you guys know I don't just think the military is great, but how great is it that some people can just end their contract early and continue to get paid by the military to not even show up to work and go do something else? You shouldn't get that. That's not something that everybody has earned. You already get GI Bill, TSP potentially, or blended retirement plan. You already get 30 days of leave, unlimited sick leave, no limit to sick leave. You get your VA disability, hopefully, probably, if you take care of yourself and your medical records and all that. And out of all that, you want to take the last 3 months off of your contract that you agreed to? You probably didn't even know that this program existed when you joined the Army. Now, the Army is the worst. Has the worst culture of any unit. I interviewed people who were at Cop Keating, the Battle of Kamdesh. One of them said when they have nightmares about the Army, it's not about that battle, it's about being in garrison. Think about that. The Army, I pull no punches on the Army here, but when you agree to do something, like fulfill a contract that you signed up for, maybe accepted an enlistment bonus for, got all that training, get all your military benefits, and then you make a TikTok that goes viral to millions of people saying that your chain of command is toxic because they won't let you take the last 3 months off, and somehow your success for the rest of your life hinges on that. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it one bit. So let me know what you guys think about that in the comment section down below. Am I wrong? Am I being too harsh? Am I missing the point somehow? If you do get this program, this career skills, whatever it is, or skill bridge, whatever you're calling it, that is great. What a huge benefit. Good for you. And if you don't, then, hey, you should still be fine. Hopefully that company that you were going to go do it with is still interested in hiring you, even though you can't do this program. If they're offering you that opportunity to come work for them, because they're, if anything, they are loving it because they don't have to pay their new employees because the military is still paying you. This is one of the greatest programs that has ever come to be. And if you get to use it, that's awesome. And if you don't, I could see why you'd be a little salty about it because you're missing out on free money for not being in the Army or military anymore effectively while getting training. But nobody told you that was going to happen. Nobody guaranteed that to you. So There you go. Hot take. Let me know what you think in the comment section down below. I can't believe I just had to stick up for the Army. Who am I? Who am I? I don't even know who I am anymore. Sticking up for the Army. I'm curious what you guys think about that. Am I crazy? Eviana, what's up? My weekend was great. How was yours? We're getting ready to be parents over here. I'm unpacking strollers, little baby bathtubs. I'm putting diapers in diaper bags. I'm getting ready. Buford, what's up? Great to see you. Comedians want to be rock stars and rock stars want to be comedians. Wait till you get to that story here in a minute. John says that goes completely against the career skills program. Yeah, well, that program is great, but I think I've said my piece on that now. These news stories have changed Max. He needs to suck it up because business world gives you only what's written in the contract. Yeah, that's a great point too. And then you put your whole thing, your whole community on blast on TikTok. And there's no, he didn't, another thing is he didn't establish himself as some kind of like great soldier. Like, what are his evals like? What deployments has he done? How has he earned this? I didn't see that. First term soldier, what has he done? He didn't say. Maybe he's like a total stud. Maybe he's a total stud, rock star, superhero. But he didn't say that. He didn't say anything. What am I supposed to think about that? How am I supposed to come to his aid? CDL training is another one. CSP offers it, but if you play your cards right, you can get a CDL well before it's time to leave. Can't you get a CDL in the military just by driving some of the bigger trucks, though? Just by being a motor vehicle operator? Anyway, we're going to watch a couple more videos, and we're going to get out of here soon. We're going to be out of here in no time. Jacob says, I'm sure you covered it, but bad leadership is leading to the spray painting of the Sergeant Major and CEO spots in a parking lot was hilarious. I don't know. What is that story? Can you send that to me? What is that? I don't know about that. Please send that to me and I'll put it on tomorrow. Let's talk about something good, folks. Let's bring it back around to some positivity. U.S. Army soldiers reunited with puppies that they rescued during their deployment in Kenya. Let's go ahead and watch this video. This is going to be amazing.
Local U.S. Army soldiers were reunited with five puppies that they rescued during their deployment in Africa today. WDBJ7's Michaela Shelton has more on the soldiers' dedication to save the dogs.
Sarabi, Reki, Marco, Avery, and Modi, five puppies who were rescued from Kenya by five local U.S. Army National Guard soldiers who were in the same unit. 6 months later, they are being reunited with their rescuers and now owners thanks to Paws of War.
It was just surreal, really. She's growing a lot, but she has the same personality and the same coloring and everything that she did as a puppy. So it was just amazing to be able to see her again and see the guys.
The five soldiers from Roanoke, Lynchburg, Martinsville, and Scottsville, Virginia, found the puppies in harsh living conditions while deployed in Africa and knew they wanted to find a way to save them.
We didn't want to leave them behind, and so I reached out to Paws of War and a few other organizations just to see if we could get them back home. And Paws of War actually was the only organization that got back to me. And so I got some guys on board and we all kind of got together and made it happen.
It took a donkey, rowboats, locals, and thousands of dollars to get the puppies to the United States. Robert Masseri, co-founder of Paws of War, says reunions like these make all the rough parts worth it.
It's so rewarding.
Rough parts.
To see all five dogs, all five soldiers, the smiles on their face. These dogs would have been dead or living a very miserable, suffering life. So what they did by rescuing them was just another proud moment of being here with them.
The dogs will now get to spend the rest of their lives with their rescuers, a benefit to both ends of the leash.
It was a very austere environment, working with the locals, a lot of poor people, and just being away from my family was tough. So we're happy that we got a new little daughter out of the deployment, and it was good to deploy with my brothers. I was glad to do that.
In Roanoke, Michaela Shelton, WDBJ 7.
Who's a good boy and girl? Who's a good girl? Who's a good girl? What a nice story, folks. That one should bring a smile to your face. I hope it does. Have you ever had a deployment pet? We've had this question before. Have you ever had a little deployment puppy or kitty? Let me know about that in the comment section down below. Have you ever seen one come back and make it to America? What a great story. Wow. Wow. Buford bringing us all down now. Thank you, Jacob. Finally, something wholesome, Nugget says. Cute to see so many dog puns. Buford, there was a massive dog problem in Iraq. Yes, that's true. I don't want to think about that, though. That's sad stuff. I don't want to think about sad stuff. I ain't bringing it down. I ain't talking about it. What if I told you guys that this next story, which, by the way, is our last story of the day, was from the Hindustan Times? Would you be surprised to learn that the next story that I'm about to share with you is from the Hindustan Times? Eviana says, yippee, pause of war and Mission Canine Rescue helped save my dog from Afghanistan. Aw. There was a resident kitten on DPTA when I was in Poland in 2021. That's awesome. Yeah, I've had dogs and cats. We had all chipped in to rescue a dog from Afghanistan. I got to live a beautiful life back with in America. Yeah, it's good stuff. And I've seen some, you know, animals that had to go down too over there, and that's sad. That's too bad, but it's the facts of us. One of the many horrors of war is dealing with animals. Sad. All right, let's get into it. Let's wrap this episode up on a positive note. Video alert here. Soldiers hold rock concert amid Indo-US joint military exercise Yudhabyas. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Somebody correct me in the comments. This is a bilateral exercise of India and the United States that annually alternates between the two nations. The latest, the 18th edition of the training, started on November 19th, where the two teams jointly conducted various exercises over 2 weeks. But not only that, they rocked out. And not only did they rock out, but the commanding general played lead guitar for this impromptu concert. So let's have a listen to what they played out there in freaking Hindustan. Oh yeah, that's an unmistakable riff right there. That's Metallica, baby. Let's go. I know Metallica when I hear it. That's some beautiful Metallica, classic Metallica. You gotta love that. Let's listen to it again. Shout out if that's your, but I know that's not Metallica, by the way. Shout out if that's your two-star general there. By the way, here's another one from their Twitter, the 11th Airborne. Congrats to Denali Squadron for being the first U.S. forces to deploy to the mighty Himalayas by force and valor.
Hey, everybody. We're here with Denali Squadron from the 11th Airborne Division. And this is the first deployment of the United States Army forces to deploy in the Himalayas in India. And they just knocked it out of the park.
And they got a message for you.
By force and valor!
By force and valor. So shout out to the Army for the first time ever, maybe on this show. Something really, really good. Something really cool rocking out there. Very cool stuff. Let me know if you were out there and what that was like. And let me know what you guys think about that in the comment section down below. Of course, that was Nirvana, you guys. I hope nobody really thought that I thought that was Metallica. Come on. Come on. Gotta know it. Gotta know Nirvana when you hear it. Something like that. I think I just jacked it up, but anyway. You guys know what I mean. You can kind of vibe it with me, right? LOL. Yeah, that's Nirvana, Buford says. Eviana, wait, isn't that Nirvana? Yes. Yeah, sorry if I confused anybody out there. I bet that general could drink us under the table. Yeah, at least we got a real one out there. We got a real, you know, old school military dude out there just rocking out, two-star general in the field with the troops, making, you know, relationships with the partner forces. Love that. That was quick. The 11th Airborne Division deployed not long after they activated. Nice. All right, folks. Like I said, that's going to wrap it up for today. So I'll be signing out here. Quick announcement. It is kind of a sad announcement. This week, there's a good chance this will be the last week of the Scuttlebutt Show. I'm probably going to shut it down while we're in the imminent stages of expecting our baby. Because the last thing I want is to be trying to do a show and have you guys here every day, and then, you know, we have our baby and I disappear off the face of the earth. So this will probably be the last week of Scuttlebutt shows until January after our baby comes into the world. Stay tuned for my Instagram where I tend to share stuff more frequently. Any updates on the show or whatever, I always share that stuff on Instagram. Best place to get in touch with me. So stay tuned. I think I said stay tuned about four times. So anyway, that's going to wrap it up. Thank you guys for joining me today. I hope you're all having a great start to your week. I look forward to talking to all of you very, very soon. For now, that's the Scuttlebutt.